Welcome to the jungle. What's going on? A tremendous Monday to you. Yes, I'm here. Nice to be here. What's cracking? I'm Jim Rome. The program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Hope you had a great weekend, and I hope your week's off to a good start. If you've got the day off, hopefully you're bumping around. I've got some good content for you. I've got a really good show, in fact, so let's get at it. Telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686, 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Just try to put up a little story on Instagram. Check it out, clones. Check out the story. Quick preview of the show today. All right, it sets up like this. I've got Mike Krzyzewski, Dukehead basketball coach, coming up in about 15 minutes. Coach K makes his triumphant return to the jungle, and we will have that in the very next segment. In between that and A.J. Hinch, Astros manager, in hour number three, we are wide open. So two blue chip, big name books. Coach K, A.J. Hinch, the middle of the show, show is wide ass open. I'm looking for something. Meantime, you should give me a call right now. Get yourself in the rotation. 1-800-636-8686. Those two interviews and more. Let me start first with the NBA All-Star Weekend. Because another NBA All-Star Weekend has come and it's gone. Final score. One of the teams, a whole hell of a lot. The other team, not quite as much. And, of course, people are going to come in and try to complain about the lack of defense. In other words, one of the lamest arguments of all time. Yeah, right, because that's exactly what I want to see. When the best players in the world assemble. Yeah, that's what I want. I want some quality trapping and excellent help side defense. That's what I'm here for. I mean, I can get really hyped about the best players in the world dunking or... or I could get really hyped about them closing out on a three-point shooter in a controlled and fundamental way. You know, forget that moment where Dirk drained one three after another from halfway back to Dallas. Did somebody do a good job of positioning himself between both his man and the ball? And forget the best dunks. Forget about that. Who did the best job of showing and then recovering? Listen to me. Man, that was cool. That was a blast. That was fun. That was entertaining. In fact, that was a borderline perfect NBA All-Star game. Because the NBA All-Star game is not a basketball game. That's what made that so great. The NBA All-Star game is not a basketball game. What it is a compilation of highlights and moments. Great moments. And for that, it was awesome. And if you can't get with that, if you don't like that, that's not on them. That's on you. Because the All-Star game is all about the highlights. And it was jammed with highlights. Great highlights. Now, the All-Star weekend overall, pretty meh. I mean, really, nobody remembers anything about that weekend already, right? Nobody remembers the celebrity game. The three-point shootout had one amazing first round before Joe Harris ripped it. The dunk contest had John Collins wearing a scarf and a hat trying to jump over an airplane. Except he didn't jump over the plane. He took a big chunk out of that plane. Like, I'm not going to say the contest jumped the shark when he couldn't jump that plane, but they probably should have canceled the dunk contest after Aaron Gordon and Zach LaVine got after it 3 years back. Unless you're going to run those two guys back, anything else is going to be boring. And it was. It is. It was. I mean, trust me. 3 years from now, you are not going to be able to remember a single thing from the All-Star Weekend. Hell, 3 hours from now, you're not going to be able to remember a single thing from the All-Star Weekend other than the game itself, which, again, was pretty awesome. Let me break that down for you quickly. You had Anthony Hamilton dominating the national anthem. Seriously. I'm not even going to mention what happened a year ago because that disaster should not be mentioned in the same breath as what Hamilton did yesterday. If you were looking for someone to make sure that it was not going to be a joke all over again, then Hamilton was your guy. Then you had the game itself. You had that great moment of Dirk and D. Wade coming into the game together, and then Dirk knocking down a three.
35 seconds to go in the quarter. Nowitzki, yes!
So cool, right? And then Dirk knocking down another three.
Yeah, he's stopping others for showing his hand.
Nowitzki for three!
And then Dirk with yet another. Those shots scrape the ceiling, but they barely touch the net. My guy was drawing rain every single time he let it fly. That was amazing. And that's exactly why he was there. What a moment. A great moment. And speaking of moments, how about that one where Steph Curry went to Giannis alley-oop?
Here's Curry with a high bounce pass.
That ball went so high, it was off the screen altogether, and the freak had to wait for it. That's a 6'11" dude getting up, waiting for it, and then throwing it down. You see, that's what the All-Star game is all about. It's not about 48 minutes of awesome action. It's about moments, and that game had moments by the truckload because there was one more Wade to LeBron moment.
Durant for Wade. Walker back. Here's Wade setting up.
The question coming in was, would they figure out a way to replicate that iconic photo from back in their Miami days? And they came pretty damn close. Of course, the original was not an alley-oop, but who cares? Who cares? And then there was Curry kicking his leg out at Klay Thompson to draw a four-point play. And Curry yapping at Klay the entire game, which prompted Klay to say afterwards, quote, "I've seen him do that so many times in his career, and it sucked to be on the receiving end. And then to rub it in my face. He was taunting me. This guy's a terrible sport. He should have gotten a T. But that's life." End quote. Well, and then he jokingly called Curry a flopper. Quote, "He sold it. He flopped a little bit. But he's good at that. He's got a lot of gamesmanship." End quote. And then my guy Dame. How about my man Dame hitting not one, but two threes from the logo?
Guard the three.
From way downtown.
It's Middletown. Now they're talking. We've got a ball game here, people. Lillard again.
Seriously, Dame from the middle of the logo.
It's two for me.
Inside the middle of the logo. And then you even had Steph closing out the game by chasing that bounce alley-oop to the freak with one to himself.
LeBron will make it two straight victory. Oh, Curry.
A reverse dunk off the bounce to himself. Hell yes. And that's for all the haters who said that Steph can't get up and get down. I really don't care about the final score. I really don't care who won or who lost. I really don't give a damn about the game MVP. What I cared about was whether or not I was entertained, and I was. So here's something I thought that I would never say about an All-Star game. Hell yes. Hell yes. That was good. Seriously, it was really freaking good. I loved it. Almost nothing memorable about the weekend other than the game, but the game was that good. So credit where credit's due. I loved it. 1-800-636-8686. What did you think about the All-Star weekend? What did you think about that game? All right, other things. And again, Mike Krzyzewski will join me in about 10 minutes. A lot of golf coming off the weekend. Part of it involving what went down at Riv. And I don't mean what happened inside of the ropes. I mean what happened outside of them. Hawk happened. And he was there to let everybody on social know what happened. So again, Hawk embarrassed himself. He embarrassed his family. He embarrassed the Jungle family. And he embarrassed me personally. But most of all, he embarrassed himself. Hawk doing Hawk-like things, but this time on a big stage. And everybody saw it. I'll have that story for you a little bit later on. Matt Kuchar finally got around to apologizing.
Kuchar?
Sort of. And scratching a check for the caddy that he jammed so badly. Man, good luck ever getting back your rep, Matt. That's not going to happen. And believe me, that's going to cost way more than the 50 grand that you stroked a check for that you never wanted to pay anyway. That whole thing could not have been handled any worse. And you know what? In time, I'll give you this, Matt. Time heals all wounds, but probably not that one. Antonio Brown, my man, you are not helping him. You're hurting him. And you shouldn't be on Twitter doing a Q&A with 10 questions and getting to 6 and then bailing. Hey, B. I so badly want to have your back. I've always had your back, Antonio. But, man, you are making it so hard. Those 6 questions were 6 too many. And then there's this totally whack theory. That he's actually doing it tactically. That the strategy behind this is, if he does enough damage to his reputation and burns enough bridges, the Steelers won't be able to trade him and they'll have to cut him. I mean, that can't be true. That would be like the worst idea ever.
That's whack.
That's horrible. That can't be true. In the meantime, AB, put your phone down. I know that's hard. I know that's the hardest thing for you. I'm trying to help you here, honestly. It's always been a big Antonio Brown house right here. Put your phone down. Hell, at least put it in airplane mode. Elsewhere, oh, this just in. Breaking news. This just in, and this is insane. There is a report. I can neither confirm nor substantiate this. This just in. A report that somebody might be close to signing Bryce Harper. No, I really said it. Yeah, I just said it. He might be close to getting a deal. One more story off the NBA weekend. Did you see Kawhi Leonard's new commercial with his new kicks and his Times New Roman font? That story's coming up. First tweet of the day, at Haunted00Horse. Quote, we were totally offended by the explosion of offense in the NBA All-Star Game. Signed, the LA Rams. This email reads, dear Rome, we absolutely loved the NBA All-Star Game and thought it was entertaining. Signed, adults that regularly go to Hooters, adults that push little kids out of the way to get an autograph, and adults that vape. John in Huntington Beach. Hey, moron. I just did a whole take on it. I did like 7 minutes on why I like that game that much. Let's run down your list. Signed, adults that regularly go to Hooters. Nope, don't do that. Nothing against it, I just don't do that. Signed, adults that push little kids out of the way to get an autograph. Have never done that, John. Signed, adults that vape. Never done that either. Yet I love that game. Signed, John in Huntington Beach. War stay-at-home dads not having a day off today. When we come back, Coach K joins us. Hey, guys. You know that Untuckit shirt you've had your eye on for quite some time? Here is your chance. Untuckit is having their annual stock-up event happening at Untuckit.com and in all 50 Untuckit stores. Now through February 27th, you can save 25% when you buy two or more items. Buy two or more button-downs and get 25% off. Buy two or more polos and get 25% off. Buy two or more tees and Henleys and get 25% off. Every Untuckit shirt that has that just right length and comes in a ton of fit combinations is 25% off. So whether you're a tall guy, a short guy, a slim guy, a bigger guy, a younger guy, an older guy, it doesn't matter. You will look and feel great in an Untuckit shirt. Just go to any of their 50 stores across the country or use the promo code STOCKUP at Untuckit.com, where you will always get free fast shipping and returns on every order in the U.S. If you have not experienced the all shapes and sizes fit of Untuckit, use the promo code Stock up at Untuckit.com or at any Untuckit retail store. Now through Wednesday, February 27th, Untuckit.com, promo code Stock up.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Possible scheduling change with Coach K. He may be coming up next segment. Perhaps sooner, but maybe next segment. So if you're looking for him right now, that might be a little bit later on this hour. But we'll keep looking. Meantime, that means the phone lines are open, 1-800-636-8686. This email says, hey, Rome, yeah. Enough with these sports takes. Get to Hawks' ridiculous and humiliating outfit on display at the Riv this weekend. Did Sparrow really think that Tiger was going to high-five a grown man wearing an Indy Jones hat and a cat tat? Matthew in Denver. Pretty much he did. Or he wouldn't have been out there doing what he was doing. Looking the fool, looking the tool, trying to get his idol to high-five him. Dear Rome, I don't know if you're aware, but there is a photo floating around on social media of your EP, Adam Hawk. He's dressed like a clown and acting like a fool at the Genesis Open. Didn't he have to sign some sort of personal conduct policy prohibiting him from embarrassing himself and, by extension, embarrassing you even when he's not on the clock? What are you going to do? Snitchingly yours, Brent in PC. I'm still trying to figure out what I can do, all right? If this were back in the day, honestly, I would have fired his ass before he got back to his car. But it's not that easy anymore. The world has changed. Let's just say that I'm looking at my options. At Vegas Ambassador tweets, today should be a national holiday. It's jungle favorite Yoko Ono's birthday. If only there were a song we could commemorate this special day with. Bump this in my car all the time. I work out to this. I love this song. Oh. I've been trying to get my favorite instructor on Peloton to add this to her playlist. It hasn't happened yet. But then again, what ride would that be on? It's not exactly an 80s ride or a 90s ride or a classic alternative ride. Or a rap ride. What ride would that go to? No wonder the instructor won't get back to me on that one. I mean, she does solicit requests. Hey, play Oh by Yoko Ono. Go Oh by Yoko Ono. No, we're not going to commemorate that and make that a national holiday. Thanks, Dave. Alvy, got it. I do love that song, though. Wait for the chorus. This is great. Right there, the chorus. Anyway. That's what's known as an art installation. Hello, obviously. All right, we're going to talk some Duke basketball. In the meantime, I do want to talk about Kawhi's new commercial. And AB. And Bryce Harper. Man, somebody sign this guy. Somebody sign this guy. And don't do it for him. Just do it for me. Do it for me. So we can talk baseball and not collusion. And now what's going on here, and whether or not there is collusion. All right, so, and then you've got Antonio Brown. You see, if there's a story that is more tired than Bryce Harper's free agency, it's Antonio Brown's non-free agency. And yet, he was at it again over the weekend. This time, Antonio Brown was holding a Twitter Q&A to address his situation. And by address his situation, I mean, dump even more gasoline on that fire. He started off by announcing that he would be answering 10 questions via Twitter. So let me give you some highlights. There was this question, quote, what would you tell people that say you only want a new team to get a new contract? AB's answer, quote, not for the money. It's for the love of the sport, the commitment to win relentlessly. Consistently, passionately. Plus, I made $70 million. It's public record. Not to be cocky, just truth. Time to play for my own team, AB84, the family. I guess, in other words, scoreboard, look up at it. Oh, and again, anytime somebody says that it's not about the money, it's about one thing, the money. And then there's the one where he was asked about the fact that he did not play in the final game of the season against the Bengals. His answer to that was, quote, after the coach tell the team I quit while nursing some bumps, then invite me to watch the show with same guys thinking I quit, I cannot stand with that. I'm the bad guy, though. We miss postseason. Think about it. End quote. Yeah, so I guess he's not looking to smooth things over with Mike Tomlin just yet. Or at all. Because that sure seemed like an effort to fire back at Mike Tomlin for making him the fall guy for what happened at the end of the season. And it sure seems like he's pretty determined to keep opening up that wound as many times as he possibly can. Also, is he saying that the coach told the team I quit when I didn't quit, so then I really did quit? I mean, I'm not really sure that I follow that. I'm not sure. I mean, there might be some logic in that, but I'm not really tracking with it. See, if AB's concern is that an incident like that hurt his reputation, then AB continuing to bring it up is not helping his reputation. There are other ways to deal with this than a Twitter Q&A. That's not the best way. But truthfully, the first question and answer were the best. The question read, quote, what caused the conflict between you and Ben Roethlisberger? That's a really good question. AB's answer, and I quote, no conflict, just a matter of respect. Mutual respect. He has an owner mentality. Like he can call out anybody, including coaches. Players know, but they can't say anything about it. Otherwise, they meal ticket gone. It's a dirty game within a game. Hashtag truth. Damn. Now that's coming out of the gate with some fire. And it started off so well, too. You read that first few, the first few words. Quote, no conflict, just a matter of respect. Mutual respect. You see that and you think, all right, maybe it's not that bad. Maybe they can work it out. And then the dramatic plot twist. Quote, he has an owner mentality. Like he can call out anybody, including coaches. Hello? Now we're getting to the good stuff. Players know, but they can't say anything about it otherwise. They meal ticket gone. It's a dirty game within a game. Hashtag truth. Yeah, so I guess in retrospect, I guess there is conflict. I guess there is no mutual respect. Hey, listen, AB's right about that. Ben does have a history of criticizing and calling out teammates and coaches. It's kind of an open secret, right? And I bet that would get old if you felt like he can take shots at you, but you can never fire back. And you feel like your reputation has been under attack from everybody, including the quarterback, who can take shots at you, but you can't fire back. I bet that would get old. Let me just say this before I go to break. Antonio Brown thinking that this is going to help his rep is wrong, because it didn't. It didn't. Hell, he didn't even make it through 10 questions, the 10 questions he promised before he pulled the ripcord. He only made it through 6, which was still pretty much 6 too many. Well, man, I can't imagine other teams around the NFL are fired up about the possibility of bringing in a guy who has continued to air the locker room's dirty laundry in every possible public forum. We are a MySpace posting away from AB hitting for the cycle when it comes to finding new and different ways to air grievances. I'll finish that thought in a minute. I want to get out. I've got more to say on that, but I want to get out and see if I might effort.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. A tremendous Monday to you. As promised, we are joined right now by the head basketball coach at Duke. Most wins in Division I history. 5 national championships, 6 gold medals as head coach of USA Basketball, 12 Final Fours, a member of the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. Duke is 23-2 on the season. They are 11-1 in ACC play. They are ranked second. They've got another big one coming up on Wednesday night against number 8, North Carolina. Mike Krzyzewski is my guest. Mike, it is so good to have you back. How are you?
Yeah, good, Jim. Thanks for having me on.
Nice to have you on. Good to visit with you, as always. So you beat NC State by 16 on Saturday in a game, Mike, where you had multiple players who were tired. Following that Louisville game, you had guys who were physically ill throughout the week. Maybe you've had better games over the course of the year, but how proud were you of the physical and mental toughness your guys showed on Saturday night?
Yeah, I'm really proud of this team because, you know, as talented as these freshmen are, they're still freshmen. You know, they're 19 years old, and you know, we've played as tough a schedule as there is in the country, and especially during this time period where you go from playing a Saturday ago at Virginia to then Louisville and then NC State, and then we have Carolina on Wednesday, Syracuse away, then Virginia Tech on a Tuesday. A big thing, Jim, is not just who you play, but how you play when do you play the game? So in our league, we play a lot of Saturday, Monday, or Tuesday. So since the start of the conference, the start of the new year, yesterday was the first Sunday that our kids have had a day off. And basically the first day off they've had, because when you have these late games, you get back 2-3 in the morning, and that next day is an off day, but it's not an off day. They have to go to school. Not have to. They're going to school, and they're recovering. So you get worn out, and guys stepped up for us. Our bench stepped up for us in this game, the two big guys, Bolden and Delorier, and Jack White, and we're going to need that as we move along.
Duke head coach Mike Krzyzewski joining us, and of course RJ Barrett did too. 23 points, right. 11 rebounds, Mike, 10 assists. That was the program's first triple-double in more than a decade, and he had no turnovers in that game. What did you make of how he showed up?
Well, he was, you know, he's had a remarkable year. You know, he's a great college player. He's going to, I think, be an outstanding pro player. But the one of the great things, Jim, that you would love about him for this game, he was a kid that on Wednesday and Thursday was throwing up and sick, and we weren't sure he was going to even show up for practice on Friday. He did do a little bit on Friday, and then all of a sudden on Saturday he has a performance like that. So, you know, the toughness and the, you know, just the grit, you know, to be able to play like that after overcoming sickness makes it even more more impressive.
You know, you're right. You're right, Mike. I do love that. I couldn't be more impressed with his grit and the way he showed up, especially given the week he had. Now, you've been asked about Zion in so many different ways. Let me instead ask you this. What do you remember about the first time you saw him?
What a gifted athlete he was. And so good with his teammates. You know, I watched him in AAU, and really, he's a much better player than I even thought he was going to be, because I didn't realize all of his lateral quickness and just how much of a basketball player he was, and until I found out he was a point guard up until eighth grade. But when I first, he's such a good athlete, and that top percentile of athleticism. But having him here, I found out that he's even more of an athlete and a great worker. He's smart. You love being with him every day. He's a great teammate. He has all the things that you would want a role player to have. Or a guy that's one of the starters and not a guy who's just a star. He's really kind of one of a kind.
You know, Mike, because you've had so much success in the NBA, you've not only been around, but you've coached some of the best to ever play the game, certainly some generational talents. And everybody wants to say, well, we know he projects, but how does he project? I guess what I'm getting at, is there any NBA player that you've ever coached that reminds you of Zion, or has he broken the mold altogether, potentially?
No, he's different, and that doesn't mean he's better than everybody or whatever. That's not what I'm saying, but he's different because He weighs, you know, 270 pounds, 270, anywhere from 265 to 275. And what he can do laterally and with the ball and then up and down, you know, the vertical, it's just incredibly unique. And I think he'll translate at an unbelievable level in the NBA because he can, he's got guard skills, so he can go by you. And with the way the game is called and the defensive 3 seconds and all that, there's more space. There's more space, and he can, he's going to be terrific. He's not going to be good. He's going to be terrific.
We're talking to Duke head coach Mike Krzyzewski for a few more moments. You know, Mike, one of the things that you talked about before the season was you weren't looking for guys to buy in, but rather you were looking for guys to believe. Why is that an important distinction for you?
Well, I think if you buy in, you never really own. You know, you're doing it because you're buying in. You know, but when you believe, it becomes yours. And if it becomes yours, you will go to a higher level of everything to make sure that it turns out well. And, you know, my kids, they're really good listeners. They are really good listeners, but they also are great believers. And not just in us, they believe in each other. And that's even, that's really, really good.
You know, Mike, I'm looking at this from the outside. You just recently celebrated a birthday. And from the outside, it seems like you're somehow getting younger. Now, people may think that this is just a team loaded with amazing talent and that the job is easy. Yes and no. It's an amazingly talented team. The job is not easy. It's still a grind. It's always going to be a grind. I think that everybody looks at you like you've discovered the magic potion or secret. What is it, Mike, that gets you up and gets you motivated every single morning still yet?
Well, I'm in the best health I've been in a number of years because I've had my hips replaced for now almost two decades, and I have both my knees replaced over the last 3.5 years, and I've recovered great. So I'm not fighting any pain or lack of movement or whatever. So I'm fresher. I mean, I feel better than I have in 10 years, and. I hope there's no more body parts I have to replace, but it's all turned out great, and I get the best rehab, and you know, every coach in every sport, it's a grind. Yes, but it's a grind that you wanted to do for your whole life, and so the other aspect of it is I'm doing what I wanted to do since I was 16, and that's the coach, and who would have. I would have never dreamed that I'd be able to have coached at this level, the U.S. team, the national championship teams, and to have an opportunity to coach this team. And so I just try to take each team each year, one at a time, and enjoy it and try to get into their moment. And if you would be around our guys, this group, they are really a neat group to be around. They're very, very upbeat, personal. You know, they don't have down days, and that doesn't mean there are times we don't play as well, but they're just really good people and their families are good. So, that's a good thing. I mean, it's a great thing.
It really helps be around people you like being around. And then a final thought, you know, you're doing what you've always wanted to do, so that's a great thing, but you can't do what you've always wanted to do the same way. Obviously, you're going to change, you're going to evolve. Jim Boeheim said it best. Jim Boeheim said that for a long time, in his words, Mike, this is Jim talking about himself, was a coaching dictator. There was very little give and take with my players. End of quote. So how much have you changed and evolved as a coach over the years?
Yeah, a lot. And, you know, a lot. That doesn't mean you change your core values. Or obviously you learn more. I learned so much about the game being the U.S. coach from the guys I had the honor to coach and the international community coaching against them. But, I think you can change in some ways offensively and defensively and whatever. But the main thing is who are the people you are leading right now? What is their environment? What is their culture? And can you figure out how to teach your values and your what you're doing in basketball wise in a way that will be appreciated and accepted by the group that you have? And I've changed a lot in that regard. I mean, I have four guys on my staff, Shire, Nate James, Chris Carwell, and Nolan Smith. And every once in a while I said, isn't that the way I used to do it with you? And they all laugh, you know, like, yeah, right, coach. And I said, well, just so you know, the guys before you were coached differently too. So don't think that these guys are getting off easier. But a lot is how they can accept the message, Jim. You know, like, the yelling and screaming and that, it's not like I never do that, but I hardly do it because they don't get all that. They're not, you have to teach them how to communicate, you know, because they don't talk as much.
Right.
Yeah, they don't. And, but this group has. That's what makes them better, but you adapt in that way.
He is the head basketball coach at Duke. More wins in Division I history than anybody else. The 5 national championships, the 6 gold medals, a big game coming up Wednesday against North Carolina, and a practice which starts shortly, so I better cut you loose. Mike, so good to have you back on. I always appreciate
all right.
the
good being
conversation.
On with you, Jim. You do such a terrific job. It's so easy to... It's good to talk to you.
You too, Mike.
It's not an interview. It's a good conversation, man.
My friend, right. Thank you very much for saying so, Mike. I really appreciate that. That's high praise. Thank you very
much.
I've always said that. Have a great day, Mike. I've always said that, and he knows this. He knows this better than I know this. The best interviews are not interviews. They're conversations. The best interviews are not interviews. They're conversations, and that's a great conversation. I look forward to that conversation every time we have it. My thanks to Coach K and Duke. We're making that work because their schedule was changing minute by minute, and he still made a point to show up the way he did. Not only show up, but show up the way he did. So I appreciate that relationship very much. Monday is an ATP day. Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Submit your question there. Well, I'll get to you, Hawk. Be listening later on in the program, and I might answer one of your questions, and you want to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Duke is 23-2. They're 11-1 in ACC play, and they've got number 8, North Carolina, on Wednesday. At Rams are home tweets. Now, this is a great guest. Coach K is transcendent. Yes and yes. That is a great guest, and he is transcendent. Dan in Denver tweets, wait, AB only did 6 questions, so he even quit on the interview. You know, that's fair, right? I mean, I'd love to come in and tear up Dan in Denver for going Dan in Denver, but he's right. The only thing worse than consenting to 10 questions in a Twitter Q&A, if you're AB, is doing 6 and then pulling the ripcord. But even the 6 were 6 too many. But I want to be clear about this. He's right. He's right in what he said about Ben Roethlisberger. When he said that Roethlisberger, he's got an owner's mentality in the sense that he can rip anybody he wants. But if you do that, if anybody else does that, it's their job. He's right. Ben has always ripped teammates and coaches and gotten away with it. The problem is, if you're AB and you're carrying on the way he is, again, that's not exactly what a lot of teams want in their locker room. I want to go back to this point, too. I've tried to finish this now 3 times. AB did not always have this rep. This is not the way he was always seen. And even then, there are still guys in that Pittsburgh locker room that I guarantee love him. Love him still yet, although he's lost some of those guys. But back in the day, he had a really different rep in the locker room. A really good rep. And I want to touch on that next hour, where we are wide open. And also Hawk going to rib and embarrassing himself, his family, me, and himself. All that coming up in hour number 2. Don't go anywhere.